Get to the core of Korean insights with Korea Pro's exclusive Seoul event series. Join us for gatherings that bring you face-to-face with key opinion leaders, journalists, and experts on South Korean affairs for dinner, drinks, and more. Engage in deep discussions on political, economic, and social issues at special venues across Seoul. From dinners with Korea Pro editors to insightful conversations with renowned guests, each event promises a unique blend of expertise and networking. Immerse yourself in the pulse of Korea. Register now at events.koreapro.org. Listeners, and welcome to the NK News Podcast. My name is Jacko Zwetzlet. I'll be your host today, and this is an episode or a pre-interview chat which is recorded on Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 2024. Sadly, it's too late for April Fool's Day jokes, so this is all serious stuff. And I'm joined here in the studio today by Shreyas Reddy and Joe Smith. Welcome on the show, gentlemen.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Okay, we've got a couple of stories to get through. It's been a busy week in North Korea-related news. Of course, this morning I woke up to see that some missiles had been fired, but that's it happens so often, it's hard to make it sound interesting. So let's get into the interesting stuff. Joe, tell us about jeans, first off.
Okay, well, Alan Titchmarsh,
Who is he?
A British gardener.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
a celebrity gardener?
A celebrity gardener, okay. You would say, yeah. And he's appeared on many different kinds of gardening
shows. Is he to gardening what Jamie Oliver is to cooking?
Very similar, yes. A good comparison, yeah.
He's an institution in Britain, yes. So.
All right, I've never watched his show. I don't know the guy. I've never lived in England. But anyway, so how does he... Well, does he have an audience in North Korea? What's going on there?
Okay, so, well, to be honest, I doubt he has an audience in North Korea, I must say. But this all started when... Early one morning in NK News last week,
yep.
Chad spotted on KCNA that they blurred the jeans. At the time, we didn't know it was Alan Titchmarsh. I couldn't quite recognize it.
KCTV, right?
KCTV,
yeah, yes. Because KCTV, we've got a satellite feed here. It's always on in the newsroom whenever it's broadcasting. And so Chad O'Carroll, the boss man of NK News and NK Pro, he spotted
Alan Titchmarsh's jeans were blurred. Yeah, he pointed his, that gentleman's jeans are blurred. And then we all turned around, we all started laughing.
Yeah.
And then Chad straight away was like, right, I haven't seen this before. Let's do a little bit of research. This could be a good story.
Right. Now, we know that North Korea, back when it was on social media, it no longer is, but when it was, it would occasionally, well, often actually, it would blur oddly random things on videos. Sometimes rain puddles, sometimes... Well,
seemingly nothing. Yes.
Seemingly nothing.
I mean, yeah, it used to be random. Sometimes you could say that it made some sense if you saw, a KCTV or some other state media outlet, if they blurred selected things from, let's say, a Kim Jong-un munitions factory visit. But
right.
Then other times, sensitive. It would just be the most random individual in the background or some completely innocuous object. And then you just got to wonder, why are they doing this?
Right. Now, this is... So that was on social media, but this is actually on North Korean television, yeah. Korean Central Television.
Yep.
They're showing Alan Titchmarsh's show. Do they have a deal with the BBC for that?
No, they don't.
Okay.
No.
And they're blurring out his jeans. Why do you think that is?
Well, okay.
Jeans are working class, aren't they? Denim is the pants choice of the working man, is it not?
Well, I thought that. But, using a cliche, people think that maybe jeans are a sign of American imperialism. That's what's kind of been bandied around.
Capitalist decadence. Yeah.
But then you ask tourists and they say, well, we've been to North Korea with jeans, so why is it?
I imagine you probably can't wear jeans to the mausoleum
or places like that.
You've got to wear a proper pants and a shirt and a tie and things. Joe, these jeans, have you seen them unblurred?
I have seen them unblurred, yes.
Okay. Are they ripped? Is there a stars and stripes on it? Is there other signs of, sick and twistedness?
They are the most standard bootcut jeans, straight in their profile,
right,
that you could possibly get. Very boring dad jeans, I would say.
Okay. No holes, no distressed fabric or ripping.
I couldn't see any, but then it is gardening. Maybe there's a few unruly holes in there.
Okay. Now, but this is not the first time that this has been broadcast, right? It actually came up a couple of years ago, and the the fact that Alan Titchmarsh is on North Korean TV has actually been reported on in the wider world media, right?
Yeah. So this show, Garden Secrets, was aired between, I think it was 2010 to 2014 in the UK. So it's an old show. It's not around anymore. It stopped after 2014.
Is Mr. Titchmarsh still with us?
He's still with us. Yeah, he's got other gardening shows now. Ah. He's doing all right. But
hello, if you're listening, Mr. Titchmarsh.
But North Korea only started broadcasting it as late 2022 when they first broadcast Garden Secrets.
Ah, during the pandemic.
It would have been during the pandemic, yeah. So we're towards the end of it for the rest of the world. North Korea, of course, was still in it.
Yeah.
And then the Daily Mail at the time did a little article showing Alan Titchmarsh, saying, oh, they're showing Alan Titchmarsh in North Korea. And Alan Titchmarsh even did an interview at the time with another outlet for all this, back in 2002 with the Daily Mail, British newspaper. And then...
Were the genes blurred then?
Well, this is the funny thing. So the Daily Mail put pictures on their website of Alan Titchmarsh from KCTV, and his genes were still blurred, but they just did not mention the genes.
They didn't comment on it.
They didn't even comment on the genes.
Huh. Well, that's odd. I mean, they would have seen it.
Yeah, they would have seen So somehow, the best part of the story didn't make it to the
You know, I suppose it's possible that by then, by 2022, that people had just become used to the idea that North Korea blurs things, or that media blurs things in any country, really.
Well, at the same time, you can argue that by that point, particularly 2 years into the pandemic, when they had certainly expanded their range of content and started showing more programs from morning to night, you'd think they'd also be more used to the idea of North Korea having random Western content. But they did report extensively on Alan Titchmarsh being on North Korean TV. So it's a little odd that no one looked at it and said, hang on, why are the genes blurred? Why are only the genes blurred?
Because it looks so odd. It looks so odd as well on TV. Right, it just looks weird.
It's consistent throughout the show, isn't it?
Yeah, but even still, it's like horribly done. It's not like a really good blur. I mean, it goes into the flowers and everything. It just looks weird, and that's why I'm surprised.
So as he's walking along, the blur moves with him, I imagine.
Yeah, and it's not just like when they're showing him close up, even when it panned out from a distance, you can still see a very tiny blurry area where the legs would have been.
Wow. It's a coarse job. Yeah.
Okay. So you brought this to the world's attention and the world seems to be grateful?
Somehow on Reddit and Twitter, it just kind of blew up and almost every media outlet, it seemed, cover it. There's all memes going around about it. It's kind of seeped its way into British popular culture. We're now making fun of Rishi Sunak, British Prime Minister's trousers.
Oh, really?
And all this kind of thing. Yeah, saying that they'd be banned. And my mum, actually, bless her, even brought me the Daily Star British tabloid, because on the front page it had the story of Alan Titchmarsh's trousers.
Your story on
trousers.
The front page. This is great. Wow. Okay. And hopefully they've credited NK News.
I believe the Daily Star does mention NK News in their article, I believe.
Well, that's great. Okay, did Alan Titchmarsh give another comment about his genes?
He did, yeah. So although he's already seen his footage, he's now come back to it, but now coming at it from the genes angle that NK News did, the better angle.
Well, okay. Have the North Koreans commented, perhaps the embassy in London?
No, they haven't. Although I will reach out to them. That's something I will do.
Yeah, definitely should. And perhaps Dermot Hudson, if he's listening. I don't think he's a fan of the show. He has
probably
repeatedly declined politely my request to come on the show. But he may have a stance on the genes. Shreyas, what have you been looking at in the last week?
I mean, there's been a lot of other things going on in North Korea-related events, particularly the panel of experts. Now, we already did, last month, we saw a lot coming out of the panel of experts' latest report. But the bigger news this week has been the fact that the panel of experts, which essentially monitors North Korea's illicit activities and sanctions evasion techniques, it's the sanctions monitor for the UN. Russia vetoed proposal to renew its mandate by a year. So this is an annual renewal. And the panel has been around for 15 years. This is the first time that a country has, one of the permanent members of the council, has gone and vetoed the proposal to renew it. And so essentially, the panel is still around until the end of April.
Okay.
That still leaves some time for negotiation, but in all likelihood, this means the end of the panel of experts as we know it. And of the panel's reports having been such an extensive source of information, cataloging a lot of reports from all over on different themes about North Korea for the past 15 years, there is naturally a sense of concern about the loss of such a source of information.
Now, people saw this coming, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it's...
This has been predicted for some time. Definitely. Actually, repeatedly, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah, very much. And I think Russia in particular has been telegraphing it for a while. Ah. Even in the build-up to the meeting, Russia and China had been talking about proposing the introduction of sunset clauses on sanctions, which essentially specify conditions such as an end time for sanctions to lapse or basically come to an end, because sanctions against North Korea, when they were implemented, did not have a particular end date.
Right, they're open-ended. So this is a frequently raised objection or criticism of sanctions, that there is no sunset clause. On so many things in life, there are sunset clauses.
Yes, and the U.S., it hasn't never been particularly fond of that particular proposal. So so there was a fundamental disagreement there to begin with. So about a week before the meeting, so the meeting was actually supposed to take place a week and a half ago, but it got postponed seemingly because the U.S. figured there was at that point there was no chance of a consensus. But unsurprisingly, by the time the actual meeting rolled out, Russia still stuck to its stance, vetoed it. China abstained.
Wait, so the stance of Russia is, if there's no sunset clauses, we won't renew the panel of experts. So is that their stance?
So that's one of the conditions that they asked for. Another was changing the reporting frequency of the... So the panel submits two reports a year, a final report and a midterm report. And so they said change it from twice a year to once a year.
Because they often came late anyway when they did come.
Yeah. Now, obviously, that is their stated... those are their stated objectives.
Right.
But...
North Korea and Russia have increased their military cooperation the last year, so it happens to coincide with their interests and values right now.
That's right, and I think so. For Russia at the moment, it's more convenient to have North Korea on their side. They've effectively got the panel of North Korea's back, and even in their objections, they repeatedly, after the veto, they. The foreign ministry stated that they look at the sanctions and the panel's work as unfairly targeting certain countries. So North Korea being one of them, but you've got to say indirectly that could also apply to Russia. Yeah, essentially what Russia has already at this stage made itself an international pariah thanks to the Ukraine war. This is not the first, I think, I don't remember which one it was, but there was another panel of experts that they effectively blocked
Mali.
I think, it was Mali.
Ah, I see.
So essentially, at this point, they've already established that they are going to stand on the other side to the US and its allies. So as opposed to China, for whom, you know, they've been able to get around sanctions just fine. They can continue trading with North Korea. They don't care whether or not sanctions continue. They wouldn't want to alienate the rest of the world by outright rejecting sanctions.
Right.
But at the same time, they have some support for Russia's position, so they abstain.
They abstain. Okay, Joe, you got a comment?
Well, I was just going to say, firstly, when Russia voted for these sanctions in the United Nations Security Council, there were no sunset clauses back then. And obviously, like you say, we already touched upon this now, but...
And it's not like Russia's gone through a change of government since then and now.
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, the leader then is the leader now. So it's not like the policy has been radically different. They could say, well, you know, that was that guy back then 15 years ago. Now we've got a new government in place. We have a whole new opinion.
Yeah, no, that's very, very true. But also, it just suits Russia. But I would be very, very surprised if when they had the summit last September and also the many meetings they've now had, I'd be extremely surprised if this didn't come up as something where they wanted Russia to try and get this or try and destroy this panel of experts. And it suits Russia because they're now doing weapons trade. They weren't doing weapons trade in North Korea back when they voted in this in, what was it, 2017?
Yeah, 2016 and 17. Yeah,
2016, 2017. They weren't doing weapons trade and now they are, and it's obvious. And why would Russia agree to help a panel of experts, which is making themselves look bad?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's obvious.
One thing that should be pointed out, of course, is that this measure just... assuming that there's no last-minute solution to save the panel, this particular move applies only to the panel. The sanctions resolutions that have already been passed will remain in place.
Yes. Right.
The 1718 sanctions committee that oversees sanctions against...
And exemptions.
That will also remain in place because that was also passed without an end. That does not need annual renewals.
Okay. So it's only the panel of experts which is writing the reports that investigate the breaches of sanctions or the evasion... of sanctions. Okay. All right. So, listeners, for more, you should check out Shreyas' stories on the issue. Lots of detail there, including comments of various players.
Yeah, we've spoken to multiple former members of the panel who for their thoughts on both the situation as well as, you know, the importance of the panel of experts and potentially even what alternatives there could be after the panel goes away.
Last year, I interviewed Eric Pentenvoke, former coordinator of the panel of experts on the show, and having spoken to him, I have to say I'm not surprised about the turn of events recently. So listeners, go back and check that one out. I can't remember the name of the number of the episode, but if you do a search for Eric, panel of experts, you should be able to find it on the website. Lastly, we've got about 2 minutes to talk very quickly about a football match, or soccer for those of you who prefer that term, that was cancelled. North Korea was supposed to be playing against Japan, a home match in Pyongyang for the World Cup qualification. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. Who wants to start?
Well, I guess I can start. But so essentially, this was, as you said, a qualifier for the FIFA Men's World Cup 2026. Mm-hmm. Right before this, there was also a match in Japan. The North Korean team visited Japan.
Ah, they did go. Okay.
Yes, and this follows about a month after the women's teams were supposed to play each other. On that occasion, the Japanese Football Association reportedly expressed concerns about logistics.
Yeah, travel logistics. And
So they ended up rescheduling that match, played it in a neutral, in a third country.
Only 3 days before.
And they have, there is a history of this, there is precedent. What was that, when was the World Cup held in Great Britain and North Korea got knocked out in the quarterfinals?
That was 1966.
The year England won it.
Qualifying rounds for that, Australia played North Korea in Cambodia. That was neutral ground back then because they couldn't play in Australia or in North Korea. So they did it in Cambodia, hosted by King or maybe then Prince Sihanouk. Anyway, so they have precedents.
Yeah, and even more recent precedents, like, for example, South Korea and North Korea played in a World Cup qualifier ahead of the 2010 World Cup. And at that time, they weren't exactly on the best of terms. So they played the match in China instead. Mm-hmm. The Japanese team has previously visited Pyongyang without any such issues. So this was a little unusual that North Korea, at the very last moment, cancelled it.
Mm-hmm. Joe, fill us in.
There was even an Asian Football Confederation inspection team that went to Pyongyang, maybe it was a couple of weeks before, and said, all works out, all checks out, it's all fine. And then we thought, okay, yeah, the game's going to go ahead. And then, like you say, we got word before North Korea actually lost to Japan in Tokyo 5 days before the game that was set to be played in Pyongyang, that North Korea were trying to cancel because of this virus that was spreading, which I hadn't mentioned yet.
So they're saying essentially an infectious disease in Japan, and you've got to say, you know, you've got to have asked some questions about that, because this comes at a time when for countries that they're closer to, like Russia and China. They're letting
hundreds.
Yeah, they're letting, forget not just diplomats and officials, they're letting tourists in with reduced quarantine restrictions and pretty much making it easier for them to get in. So why is it that for Japan, you're saying, you know, there's this random disease, especially after you've sent your own players to Japan? So it the fact that it is their former colonial ruler and comes at the same week that
potential symmetry is between, you know,
that's still in the air.
So Kim Jong Un's sister pretty much effectively ruled out a summit with between the leaders as long as conditions remain the same, which is how North Korea's way of saying, no, we're not interested.
Okay, Joe, we've got a minute left. Wrap it up. How has FIFA responded to this cancellation?
Okay, yeah. So when we heard that North Korea were trying to pull out, we then heard, I think it was the day after, that AFC, the Asian Football Confederation, were working with North Korea to try and find a new mutual venue. Apparently, there wasn't much response on the North Korean side. And then the day after that, FIFA then decided to pull the plug on the game. And then only on...
Oh, so FIFA pulled the plug. Okay, does FIFA that mean that North Korea is out of the World Cup in 2026? Can they still qualify?
Yeah, they can still qualify, although it's going to be very difficult for them now. And to be honest, they only lost 1-0 to Japan in Tokyo. Not many teams actually go to Pyongyang and get results. And it's very possible, it's more than likely that North Korea could have gotten a draw there. And that would have really helped their World Cup qualification campaign. But now it's not in their hands. And they've got to win their remaining games, hope other teams do them a favor as well.
Interesting.
It's not a good look.
So we're still in this this stage of North Korea. Is it opening? Is it not? This is here we have some signs that clearly it's not opening to nations it considers unfriendly. So basically everybody except for China, Russia, and perhaps some others like Syria, Iran, although we haven't seen them.
And the friendship organizations.
And the friendship organization, who will probably be there just under 2 weeks from now for the Day of the Sun, April 15th. So we'll have to come back and talk about that.
Read Anton's story.
Also, interesting that you actually mentioned Syria, because Syria and Myanmar are the other two teams in the group that are scheduled to visit Pyongyang.
Ah. So let's see if they get in there.
So in this summer, we'll get a chance to see if they're actually willing to open up.
Fascinating. Okay, Joe, Shreyas, thank you very much for joining me on this pre-interview chat. See you again soon. Listeners, stay around because I have an interesting interview with the gentleman who runs the North Korea Archives and Library, Emil Boivin, after this break. Navigating the dynamics of the Korean Peninsula requires more than just information. It demands insight. Korea Risk Group offers strategic consulting that cuts through the noise. Our experts provide in-depth analysis, risk assessments, and bespoke reports, all tailored to your specific needs. Whether you're exploring new opportunities or managing existing challenges, our insights can be your compass. To learn more about how we can help you make informed, strategic decisions, visit korearisk.com/solutions today. This interview was recorded on March 23rd, 2024 via Zoom, and I'm joined by Emil Boivin, who is in Canada. Emil is one of a group of people who has run the North Korean Archives and Library, or NKAAL. You can find them on Twitter at NorthNKAAL and also at sites.google.com/view/NorthNKAAL. And that's a bit long, so I'm going to put both links in the show notes so you can find it more easily. Emil was originally in charge of filing and data storage at NKAAL from December 2020 to May 2022. And since then, he has been running the website. When he was in college, he arranged a handful of North Korean film screenings which were relatively well attended, and that can often be a gateway drug to working in the North Korea space. In his spare time, Emil likes to collect physical North Korean film DVDs, books, and other media. Joining me from Quebec in Canada, welcome on the show, Emil.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's start with what is the North Korea Archives and Library, the NKAAL? What does it seek to do?
So originally, we had the three of us as our goal to provide a single place where everything, all media from North Korea, could be found. So that is, you would have printed materials, audio and video materials, and some other bits and bobs that we found pertinent to hold on the website.
Now, that's a very big ambition. When you started the project, you must have done a sort of a rough calculation in your head of how much output is there and what kind of storage space do we need. Is that how you began?
Well, it's actually very funny, but The whole website is run in a manner that costs the webmaster no money.
Wow.
So everything, well, I say no money, but essentially it can be run without any financial input from the administrator. So the website is hosted by Google on their free sites.google.com platform.
Yeah.
Files are hosted on a virtual private server that is provided to us by a dear friend of the organization. Mm-hmm. And where normally we come in to spend money would be buying external hard drives or storage to have a physical copy of any materials with us in case of having Google shut off our drives, or as most recently Microsoft shut off our drives.
Okay. But do you have an idea of how much output there is in theory from North Korea, how much, you know, you would need to store on a given month?
In a month, depending on how much material we find, this, of course, depends on if KCTV, the central television, will broadcast the same programs over and over, or if there's going to be something new. Well, in the best of months, it can reach up to 100 gigabytes,
Ooh.
but in some slower months, we've seen under a gigabyte, so maybe one or two PDFs, one video file.
Okay, so who started the project and when?
I started the project with my two friends in on Christmas Day,
Wow.
2020.
Okay.
And it was in the afternoon. We didn't have anything else to do for the day. All our Christmasing had been done. So
Yeah.
all of us were interested in North Korea. And the main issue we had was accessing those North Korean websites, dot KP websites that are not necessarily reliable. So we thought, how nice would it be to have a single place where we could find everything? And this is how the NKAL came to birth.
Right. And so how many of you were there in the beginning?
Three, including myself.
Okay. And now you're the one doing all the work, I understand.
Yes. Since 2023, we've graduated college and we've all headed into the job market. And for some,
Right.
unfortunately, it's a big, it takes a lot of time and, mental
Wow.
effort.
Yes. Yeah, because as you just mentioned earlier, if you're recording KCTV and if they show the same movie or program twice, then obviously you don't want to add the same thing to the archive more than one time. So you have to look through everything and make sure nothing's being doubled up, right?
Yes. This is something we do once in a while. I go through the website, search for duplicates.
Yeah.
Usually you find one or two, especially in as you said, KCTV's broadcasts, because translations unfortunately are not really reliable. So one day Google Translate will give us a certain translation, but the next month it's going to be something else. So it's filed under a different name, and
Oh.
it's basically if we recognize it.
Okay, so that brings up the important question. So you are not only collecting materials in English, but also in Korean too, right?
Yes. It started with English materials
Yep.
since there's fewer of them, especially with the
Right.
video. But
Right.
since then, we've expanded to music albums, after that, to Korean films. So
Yep.
currently on the website, we've got over 600 feature films, about
Wow.
50 short films, and something between 60 and 70 documentary films in Korean.
Okay. And as you said, you're using translation tools, I'm guessing because you yourself don't speak or read Korean, is that right?
I can read the alphabet and, see the characters and know what
Yep.
sound they make,
Right.
but not really anything much more than the basics of North Korean propaganda slogans.
Right. Okay. So the translation tools are, I guess, what make a lot of your work possible. I mean, it would have been very different if you were doing this project, say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, before the
Yeah.
translation tools were available, it would have been much harder, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when the North Korean websites went offline in January, did that affect the input that you were getting?
Terribly,
Yeah.
yes. The main website, Uriminzokiri,
Yep.
was taken down, and we used to get a lot of KCTV programs from there
Yeah.
since they're already recorded in 480p, which is, the North Korean standard, and were already cut. So all we had to
Right.
do was, oh, let's go today, see the feature film section. Is there something new? So daily
Right.
checking, once in a while there's something new downloaded, put in on the website. But now we have essentially no real reliable access to KCTV, since also around the start of this year, there was a YouTube channel called Mokran
Yep.
on that used to post essentially the whole KCTV programs, but has been since then taken down by Google.
Right. Now there are some other YouTube channels not run, it seems to be not run by North Korea, but run by perhaps fans of North Korea who
Yes.
repost a lot of their KCTV channels. I'm thinking of there's one seems to have a Vietnamese name,
Yes,
Phuong
yes.
DPRK Daily. Is that
Yes.
a reliable uploader of most of the output of KCTV?
I would say for the newscasts, news programs
Ah,
about Kim Jong-un's activities, It's very reliable. Once in a while, we'll see something interesting, like if I recall correctly, documentary film about the 13th World Festival of Youth and Student back in 1989. Mm-hmm. And that was subtitled. So a main, you know, positive point of this specific channel is their translations, which are, I'd say, relatively complete.
Oh, that's good. That's certainly very helpful. So what's the current size of the North Korean archive and library?
Currently, in matter of amount of items on the website, somewhere in the high 6,000s and something somewhere closer to 700, I'd say. But I can't recall correctly since it changes a few dozen each week.
Sorry, we're counting terabytes or?
This would be single units of files. So
single units of files, okay.
One film is one PDF is one, one painting is one.
Right.
The website itself is divided in categories with specific pages for what you're looking for. So if you're looking for, let's say, works of art, you're going to have the works of art page. If you're looking for albums by the State Symphony Orchestra, you're going to have the State Symphony Orchestra's music albums page. And so all of these pages and their, you know, the page that encapsulates them is around 150.
Okay. All right.
In matter of terabytes.
Yeah.
It's around, if I remember correctly, it's somewhere around 1.2 terabytes.
Okay. All right. Well, that still sounds manageable. I mean, these days you can buy external disk drives that are bigger than that, right?
Yes, exactly. In fact, at NKL, we're a big fan of the same model of cheap external disk drive. But currently, we're working on acquiring a very large collection of files that would bump it up to about 1.7 terabytes.
Wow. Okay. God, that is a big collection. Now, I noticed that on the front page, when people land on the website of the North Korean Archives and Library, the first thing they can see is the latest additions to the website. And so you're keeping up a list there of the newest films or albums or books or documents that go up there. How often normally do you update that? Is that like a weekly update?
Every time something is added to the website, the latest editions will be updated at the same time. Usually it will be weekly. If I don't have time, it will be bi-weekly. So what we're seeing currently, if we scroll down to the bottom, there is a line that says last time items were added to this website.
I see.
It provides the date the last time the website was, the collection was updated with new items.
Okay. All right. Now, this is the order of date. Are you using the American ordering or the European ordering there?
That is the day, month, year.
Day, month, year. Okay. So the 2nd of March was the last time you added some things to the website.
Yes. So about 3 weeks ago, I've been snacking, unfortunately.
Oh, come on, Emil. You're falling behind.
I know. People are telling me I need to put new files, but, you know, time isn't free.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the archive, you've opened it to everybody. So anyone can look through it and find useful information for their research or for their hobby, right?
Yes. Yes. That is my main goal with the website. It is to provide a place where, you know, you can find everything you need. You're doing a thesis in university and you need a quick access to some Kim Il-sung work from 1970s. It's on the website. You're a reporter from X, Y, and Z news agency and you need a screen grab from a recent newscast. It's on the website. Mm-hmm. So it's aimed at providing a steady and relatively reliable source of media.
Right. Now you've got a search bar or a search icon at the top right of the website. Is that powered by Google? I mean, is it a good search engine you're using there?
It's powered by Google, and I'd say it's not really great.
Oh.
You know, you're searching for a specific film title and you're going to get a million results that aren't what you're searching for. What I recommend the users doing is think about what you're searching. You're searching, let's say, about volume 182 of the Pachonbo Electronic Ensemble. So since it's an audio, we're going to go in the audio material section. At the left, you've got your, you know, the sections detailed down. And since it's a music album, we're going to go in the music album section. And then what is presented to us is different bands. So we're going to go to our selected band or music ensemble. And on the page, we're going to have a chronological list of the materials.
I see it. Yep.
So it's I say don't rely on the search. If you're looking for a specific thing, go by department, go and, you know, it's like filtering a search.
Right. Okay. So use the drop-down menus that you've got there on the top left. So for example, under video and audio materials, there's also a section reminiscences of Kim Il-sung. And these are the video episodes of Kim Il-sung's memoirs, not the book, but the video.
The video, yes, since it's in the video section.
Yep. Okay. Gosh. Wow. It's incredibly comprehensive and nicely organized. Do you feel that this is, you know, you started off with an interest in North Korean film. Is this a hobby that ran away from you and sort of, you know, took on its own life and got a bit out of control?
Never, never. Every single time I work on the website, it is because I want to. It's something I enjoy. The day I will not enjoy the website anymore, I will close it or I will stop updating it. But
yes, well, that's a danger, because if you close it, that archive is lost forever.
Lots of unhappy people, I'm sure. It's something I enjoy doing. I've been enjoying this for the past 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. And I see myself enjoying it forever.
Okay, let's hope so. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of North Korean websites that were all taken down. And sometimes over the decades, North Korea has revised some of its publications. For example, the texts of Kim Il-sung's speeches have been revised. And so the more updated printings have sometimes amendments to the text. And this can make it difficult to research the original text unless you have access to those first editions. So a question to you is, do you keep different editions of things like, say, the works of Kim Il-sung on your archive?
Unfortunately, it's very hard for me to see what is new, what is the same. Mm-hmm. So I do not keep, you know, equivalent files. So I would like to do so, but unfortunately, going through every Kim Il-sung work and seeing if Chaju-sung was translated into Independence is it's very time. It takes a lot of time for a single file when I've got 48 more to process.
Right. Yeah, I understand. Now, were you able to get most of the website materials before they went offline?
It was very, I'd say, I took the most I could before they were shut down. And after they were shut down, I've arranged with some people trying to get the most I could. But unfortunately, a lot of things, a lot of media were lost in that shutdown. Yeah. So I'm thinking of the audio plays of certain KCTV that was hosted on these website. There was a very large foreign classical music section on DPRK today. Mm. But all, I'd say the only things I was able to save were the extensive music libraries.
Ah, right. Now, I'm wondering, are there any AI tools that you're able to make use of to help in your work? Like you mentioned just before, the time-consuming nature of comparing different versions or looking for different translations. I'm just thinking there's got to be a way to incorporate the new AI tools that could either make your work more accurate or more efficient in terms of time usage.
I'd say, well, I've looked into it and I tried some of them, but at the end, I prefer doing everything myself to ensure that there is a certain level of quality control. Mm-hmm. So you could say that the website is handmade with love.
Yeah. Okay. Can you give us some examples for our listeners of some really interesting or surprising material on your website that people might be interested in if they know that it's there?
Yes, of course. If I go in our concert section, there was a musician in 2011.
Yes,
a keyboards player that was purged during the Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un succession. But the issue was he was the lead keyboard player of the main band at the time, the Pachonbo Electronic Ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did, they took the VHS tapes, they airbrushed him out, they edited him out, and then they re-released it on DVD. But on the website, we have both copies of them. So on DVD and on VHS. So you've got one version with four keyboard players.
Yep.
And the exact same with only three.
Okay, now how would I find that? If I'm in the concert section and I go to Pachonbo Electronic Ensemble.
Yes. You would find at the top the I'd say the first three, the first four ones look a bit, you know, grainy, tacky with the music note and a Kim Jong-il-ya flower. That is the VHS version. And if you go down under the Japan performance, you have the solo concerts. These ones were re-released.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the solo concerts, they've airbrushed out the purged musician, but in the first three, he's still there.
Yes. So
okay.
It's something I find really interesting with North Korean media. It's how, I'd say, volatile it is.
Yeah.
One day, it's free to use, everybody has a copy, and then the next day, poof, it disappears.
Mm. Yeah.
Same thing with films. For some time, for a very long time, a Nation and Destiny chapter, parts 52 to 60, were nowhere to be found. They had been broadcasted in 2002, and no one had seen them ever since. Maybe they were buried somewhere in a university library in South Korea or in a vault in North Korea. But no one had heard of them. And then one day, during the COVID pandemic, they appeared remastered on Korean Central Television.
Ah.
So we really don't get a heads up with that. So this is why I think it's important to archive the largest number of media possible.
Right. And I'm looking now, I've found that if people go to your film section, film archive, and then click on Korean only film, and then go to page one, you can find there the Nation and Destiny, all the parts from 1 to 62.
Unfortunately, we still have a few missing parts 20 to 25 and parts 37 to 45. These ones got the same treatment as the other. Maybe we'll see them some in a few years, but as time goes on, we grow more and more, you know, hopeless.
Well, of course, that's the loss of old films is something that's happened all around the world, right? I remember when I was a youngster, I was a big fan of Doctor Who, and there were episodes of Doctor Who that were lost because they'd been broadcast once and then the film had been reused for something else. And so those episodes were lost forever. And that's also in South Korea, some of the KBS archives. They used to do a program here in South Korea that was kind of a dramatization of events in North Korea. And many of those episodes have been lost as well. They're not available.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got, let's ask you about copyright. Your website says on its About Us page that the North Korean Archives and Library acts within Canadian and North Korean copyright laws. How does that work? And what does North Korean copyright law allow?
In Canadian law, it is authorized to the website itself, from what I've been told and from what I've been advised. Of course, what I say is not legal advice since I'm far from a lawyer.
Right.
But within Canadian copyright laws, this is authorized. And if you go to see in the North Korean texts, they authorize this sort of, I'd say, distribution for educational purposes.
Uh-huh. Is that because you're distributing it without cost, without making people pay for it? You're not making money from it. It's simply free distribution. So is that perhaps covered by the fair use clause or something?
Precisely. I wouldn't know about fair use clause since I haven't read into them, but the revised 2012 North Korean copyright law authorizes educational as long as it's free. And might I add also, from what I understand about the North Koreans, they won't mind since what I'm doing for them, I'm doing them a favor. I'm not stealing from them. I'm doing them a favor since I'm, in quotation marks, spreading their propaganda. You know, for them, it's something positive since out of my thousands of users, maybe one of them has been convinced about the magical truth.
Right. Have you ever received any emails or contacts from a representative of the North Korean government?
Never. I've never received and I've never contacted.
Right. Now, Canada, of course, has, unlike the United States, Canada has diplomatic relations with North Korea, although there is not an embassy in either country, but they do technically talk to each other. I think it's the embassy, if I'm not mistaken, the Canadian embassy here in Seoul, where I'm located, that is dual accredited to North and South Korea.
Yes.
Does the NKAAL take a political stance towards issues surrounding North Korea, such as human rights, denuclearization, the inter-Korean conflict, etc.?
The archive itself, the website itself, it does not take a position. If you look at the website, it's got everything. It's got media, but it doesn't have, you know, articles. We won't host our own style articles. Right. Maybe once in a while on the Twitter page, I'll be posting something. Like recently, I posted a picture of four generals that had been purged in the 1950s. Some may say that it is anti-North Korean, but some might say it's neutral. You know, it's facts. But the website doesn't have a political stance. It stands with what the media it holds. So what's in the media on the website, that's the only important thing about the website.
Although some might argue that even using the word North Korea is itself a political act, because North Korea doesn't like to call itself North Korea, right? It's the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Yeah, this was well thought of. Some time ago, the website was called the DPRK Archive, but then it was renamed to DPRK Archives and Library, and then it was renamed to North Korean. Because
that was a deliberate choice.
Yes, yes. If you go on the website, you should have, there shouldn't be any direct, you know, the website won't call North Korea the DPRK. It will call it North Korea, like it will call South Korea South Korea. But yes, as you say, it is, unfortunately, some colorful individuals will find fault with calling North Korea North Korea.
Have you made that decision to change the name from DPRK Archives and Library to North Korean Archives and Library? Is that to show that you're not acting as an arm of the North Korean government?
It would be to show that it is not taking a pro-North Korean stand. It is to reaffirm its neutrality. Since all over the world, you'll see neutral outlets, they'll call it North Korea. So it's simply a question of cementing the idea that the NKAL is neutral politically.
Okay, now your email address is nkaal@cholimafront.com, and your website links to the website of Cholima Front, which describes itself as a Polish-Korean friendship initiative for Korean culture and the study of the Juche idea. I think it's fair to say that organization does seem to promote the DPRK government and system and ideology. So what's the connection between the North Korea Archives and Library and the Cholima Front?
Yes. The Cholima Front is a very dear partner to us. It, for a very long time, it's, well, as you see on the website, it provided our email services.
Yes.
And I'd say for about 2 years, they provided us with the virtual private server to host all our files.
Yeah.
But myself, I am not a member of Cholima Front since I'm neither Polish nor Korean. But from what I've understood, they are, you know, a cultural organization, you see. So, you know, I'm out of my depth here, but from what I've seen, cultural organization, like they've launched a service recently for television to receive television, excuse me, to receive television from North Korea. But it's all, from what they've told me, for the press releases they've given me, it's essentially a lot of cultural work.
Okay, so you are they're partners of yours. You collaborate together, but you don't discuss politics. This is all about cultural collaboration, is it?
Yes, between the NKAL and Chelyma Front, it is an engagement to preserve and to catalog and to give a ready access of North Korean culture and media to be studied, to be consulted by foreign audiences.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is an interesting example of politics making for strange bedfellows sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, there have been times on Twitter when North Korean Archives and Library, presumably yourself, have announced updates as, quote, breaking news or reported something as confirmed, even when there has not yet been an official announcement from the government in Pyongyang. So for such posts, do you rely on sources with connections to authorities in North Korea who can officially confirm these developments?
Yes. What we report that cannot be verified by our own eyes comes from trusted partners or direct sources. Well, direct sources that are in contact with North Korean instances.
Right.
So the whole reports we used to have for the websites were things we could see. We went on the website, we studied it, we saw they've taken it offline. Let's report it. But recently, most recently, I think you're talking about the tourism.
Yeah, well, that's the most salient example. Yeah, that tourism would begin. And yeah, keep talking about that.
Yes. Well, I was chatting with one of my dear friends, which is the chairman of Chelyma Front. And he told me that the North Korean embassy in Poland had given out invitations to the Polish Korean Friendship Society, not the Korean Friendship Association, but the Korean Friendship Society. So that was for us a confirmation that Pyongyang was starting to invite tourists from abroad that weren't Russian or the Chinese.
Yes, right, because they of course had the priority access to North Korea. Yeah,
of course.
Are you aware of anyone, any group who's already been given a visa to go?
That I haven't been confirmed, but currently there is a certain individual which asked for me not to be mentioned.
Yeah,
that will visit Pyongyang for the April 15 holiday.
Right, the Day of the Sun, which is coming up in just a few weeks' time. Now, you may already be aware, but it seems like there are a lot of groups or a lot of individuals out there who have been receiving similar invitations, but due to some kind of mismatch or miscommunication between different arms of the government in Pyongyang, you know, they are invited by one arm, but they're not getting the visa from the other arm. And so ultimately, it looks like some of these people may not be able to go in time for the April 15th. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on what actually goes ahead and what doesn't.
Of course.
Nevertheless, that's a side issue. Back to the archive there. So what could you give another example of something that's surprising that people may not be aware of, even the existence, but that it's actually on your website?
That's a tough question. Out of 6,000.
Really? But maybe a category of things. So for me, listeners to the NK News podcast will know that I have a long-standing interest in North Korean comic books. And I remember that on the website, Suri Minjokiri, when it was still up, that they had some digitalized versions of some North Korean comic books up there. Can these be found archived on your website?
Comic books, unfortunately not, since Korean is not an easy language for me, and you know the people I usually rely on for translation aren't really always awake when I contact them.
Yeah.
So I elected not to post comic books and animation films since the titles are sometimes very easily to find a translation for, but sometimes information for them is extremely scarce. I don't know if it's a single release or if it's a series. So I don't know how to file them. I don't know how to translate them. So it's very uncertain. And I really don't want to have on my website, let's say, a comic book with the wrong English title.
Okay.
So people find it, they use the wrong title in their citations, or they search for it under another title and they don't find it on the website. So it's a lot of uncertainty related to the Korean language. But what I say positively is that if they were held on the website Uriminzokiri, they may still be accessible since
through the Internet Archive or
yes, through the Wayback Machine.
Wayback, yeah.
They can be accessible if they were held as PNG images.
Right. What about PDFs? Are they accessible through the Wayback Machine?
Unfortunately, the servers in China that used to hold these files have been turned off. They've not been blocked off. They were turned off. They turned the switch off.
Right.
So
okay.
Until they're turned on again, no one can go in and retrieve them.
Now, I have a suggestion for you. I think it may be a good idea for the archive at some stage, rather than concern yourself with making sure that the translations of Korean titles are accurate. If you have a dual track system, like use the North Korean word, the Pyongjin line, the parallel line, if you have on the one side things that are around in foreign languages, like in English and French and Spanish, and on the other side, if you have stuff that's available in Korean where it's archived and cataloged in Korean without worrying about a translation, then that could solve that problem for you.
Yes. Yes, I've thought about it. But then again comes the issue of filing. I would have to take to scrape again all these websites for the in Korean resources. But if I start taking in Korean, I'm going to some people already asked me, "Oh, please make your website with Spanish language media." Very fervently, I might say, this person asked.
Okay.
So yeah. It's essentially for me to take my website, split it in 2, 3, 4 languages. So 2, 3, 4 times more storage to be used.
Yes.
It becomes expensive. It becomes tiresome. I say expensive for our organization that provides our storage. So I would love to, but unfortunately, at the moment, I would say it is in relation with our material capacities, it may not be feasible.
Yeah, I understand. Are you interested in collaborating with, for example, let's say there was a Korean-speaking person in Canada who would be willing to do that kind of work on the Korean side, or somebody who wants to do the same thing in Spanish in collaboration with NKAAL? Is that something that's interesting to you? I'm thinking of listeners who may be listening to this interview who might think, "Oh, I could do that in Korean or in Spanish."
Yes, I would. If an individual comes to me with a solid proposal, with a solid plan, of course, I would love to.
Okay.
My goal is to provide the ready access to all North Korean files, currently limited to English. But if it's available in all hundreds of languages on Earth, then my work is, I can die with no regrets.
Right, right. So what's the best way for people to get in contact with you if they're interested? Is it through the Twitter account or the email address on the website?
I'd say currently it is better to reach us via Twitter private messages.
Okay.
Since our emails are inaccessible due to, since we're switching from Microsoft to a third party.
Okay. All right. So people can find you on Twitter at NorthNKAAL. Well, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to tell our listeners about that you think it's important for them to know about your work and your archive?
I would reassess the point that this website is not a political instance. Mm-hmm. Along the years, I've had no problem with journalists. I've had journalists from Yonhap News Agency, from NK News, from some local medias in Europe. I've never had issues with them, but I've had over the years more and more issues with people that usually have a pro North Korean stance. They don't like that on the website it's called North Korean instead of DPRK.
Right.
So I'd reassess. There is no politics in the website, and I do not want to read your emails about politics.
Okay. So don't send emails about politics to.
Do not send any emails about politics. I will read them, but I will not respond.
Okay, well, that certainly will save you a lot of time, that's for sure.
Yes.
Okay, well, I want to thank you once more, Emil Wavan, for coming on the NK News podcast and telling us all about the North Korea Archives and Library. I think it's a public service that you're doing. I, as a someone who looks at North Korean materials, appreciate what you're doing, and I hope that you don't lose interest in the archive anytime soon. Long may it stay alive.
Hopefully.
All right. Thank you once again.
Dive deep into the heart of South Korea's most pressing stories with the weekly Korea Pro podcast. Hosted by Jongmin Kim and John Lee, this weekly 15-minute podcast is your source for thorough analysis on all things ROK. From intricate politics to dynamic cultural shifts, we cover it all. Tune in every Friday on KoreaPro.org, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Korea Pro Podcast, insight, not just information. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our podcast episode for today. Our thanks go to Brian Betts and Alana Hill for facilitating this episode, and to our post-recording producer genius, Gabby Magnuson, who cuts out all the extraneous noises, awkward silences, bodily functions, and fixes the audio levels. Thank you, and listen again next time.